Thank you all again, our worship team. I want to start this morning by reading from Scripture. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 5. And then if you do not, as always, we give away Bibles, as you've probably figured out. We're all about books here, but there's one good book. The book is the Bible, the Word of God. So if you need a Bible, take one. Matthew chapter 6. We're talking about prayer this morning, and I want to start. I'm actually today going to throw out a lot of verses, and one thing I've tried to do in your bulletin is list all those verses, so if you don't happen to jot one down, which I think you should try to jot them down, but they're there for you, some verses on prayer, and then we're going to have a few on the screen. But I think it's important to start with what Jesus says about prayer and get a broad stroke for it. So Matthew 6, starting with verse 5. And Jesus says, "Whenever you pray, do not be like the pagans," or some translations say hypocrites, "for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to begin by giving thanks for your word, the Bible. It speaks to us, and I pray that anything that just blocks our hearts or our minds from what you want to say, anything of the world, anything from the enemy that Jesus talks about, anything from just our own sin, melt that or just demolish that so we'd hear from your word. I thank you for the power of prayer. I pray for depth in my own prayer life. I pray for depth in our church's prayer life. I pray that you would just reveal yourself and your will, and that our will would be aligned with your will, and that we wouldn't try to force our will upon you. Dear Lord, thank you for this season in the life of our church. Thank you for everything that's going on with the move and renovation starting this week, and I pray over that. Thank you for the season of summer, which is a time for renewal, relaxation, and families, friends that are traveling. We just ask that you provide your care and your protection for. And I just thank you for this time of worship that we can gather together. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, started with that passage on prayer. And what was really interesting and really good for me is that, you know, we're doing this thing called Red Letter Days. So each Sunday over the summer, you know, every Sunday should be a red letter day, but in doing so, we're asking y'all to tell us what you want to hear about, like any question. Put it either in the red box out there in the foyer or email me. Again, if you want to be, you know, anonymous, just put it in the red box, but ask anything. And we've done this for like the last month, or telling y'all to ask anything. And what was so great, but also so fascinating to me, is that I got like five or six questions on prayer. And I mean, when starting this, I thought I'd get like, you know, I don't know, some edgy questions or, you know, controversial questions. And I throw those out there too. I mean, we're good with that. But here I get all these questions on prayer. Like, just one was how to pray. Another one was, and I really love this one, it was, hey, I go to church regularly. I don't have any big sins in my life. Big was in quotation marks. That's a whole other sermon in and of itself. No big sins, but I struggle with like Bible reading and prayer. Another one was, I'm constantly overwhelmed with prayer requests. And, you know, how do you not feel overwhelmed? Another one was, what does pray without ceasing mean in Scripture? So, honestly, like, I'm really, like, proud of y'all. Like, wow, God, you know, like, our church wants to grow in prayer. And Joseph and our staff, we talk about this, that God's put on our heart about growing in prayer and in the depth. And so we need to take time to talk about it and preach about it. And here Jesus does, and I think it's important again to start at this passage because it is it's really broad strokes about prayer. It's really defining how we view prayer. And also, you know, he says, whenever you pray, do not be like pagans, or some translations are hypocrites. Now, pagan, for those of you who remember or have seen Dragnet, are not people against goodness and normalcy. Like, two of you probably know that reference. But it's like an 80s movie, Dan Aykroyd, but they were pagans. That's not pagans, like, you know, worshiping trees or, you know, horses or whatever. Pagans, actually, what Jesus means, and while other translations are hypocrites, he's talking about religious people. He's talking about, like, people who go to the temple regularly, like the Pharisees. And he starts this out because he's really defining prayer, too. And he's talking about, like, okay, who do you really pray to? What is your relationship to God in prayer? And that's why he begins the Lord's Prayer by saying, pray in this way. Not our King, not our Savior, not God, our Father. And so the reason I'm starting like this is I want to really challenge y'all and ask y'all how you think about your prayer life, because how you think about or consider or view your prayer life is really how you view your Christian life. See, the deal is, like, everybody prays, okay? I mean, even those who would not call themselves Christians, or some who call themselves Christians and are not, I mean, everybody prays. I mean, a lot of folks just generally to God, they'll be like, hey, let's, you know, just throw them up and maybe God will catch a few. I mean, truth be told, and I was with my grandmother this morning, so it's kind of, when I was growing up, my grandma and my mom, we started watching Days of Our Lives, just this, you know, this show, and it would always baffle me, and this is not like 2 weeks ago, like, you know, 20 years ago, but it would always baffle me where they're like, you know, just thought, well, all we can do now is pray. And then, like, Bo would say, well, we just got to pray. And I'm like, that just doesn't fit, because, you know, you got kids with three other women, and I don't, you know, and then they just throw out the prayer comment, you know. And I think a lot of folks kind of live that way. And, you know, it's just like when there's nothing else they can do, when they realize we don't have control of their life, whether you go to church or you call yourselves Christian, you know, people look to prayer. I mean, whether they're on your deathbed or, you know, the guy, the buddy, or the son has that car wreck, or the son is estranged, or the marriage is about to break up, or, you know, whatever it is. It's like when you can't do anything else, you go to prayer, okay? So I think generally everybody prays. Now it is, again, how you define your prayer life. And the deal is, do you look at your prayer life and your Christian life as either a business relationship or a family relationship? And I know we'd all say, I mean, family, you know, God the Father. You know, we pray to God the Father. He's daddy. You know, we say that and throw that out there. But, I mean, really, do we live out a prayer life? Do we live out a Christian life as a business relationship or a family relationship? Here's what we're talking about: business. Business is about exchanges. You do something for me, I'll do something for you. I do something for you, you should do something for me. I do something for you, and you don't do something for me, I'm going to be kind of upset. Business is all about exchange. Family, on the other hand, I mean, look, we spend time with people, I know, y'all know, I mean, we spend time with people that on normal circumstances, we're like, well, I'm done with you, I'm not spending it, but we're like, well, you know, it is my son, you know, it is my brother, it is my cousin, he's never going to get his, you know, deal together, but, you know, he's family. And so, you know, we give of ourselves and go there even when maybe nobody gives to us, or when people give to us and we don't give back, and there's this family relationship. See, I think often, just being brutally honest. I mean, often our walk with God, our relationship with God, our prayer life is a business relationship. It is a relationship of exchanges. What happens is, when we need something, we throw up the prayers, or we really hit the knees, and we'll say, you know, God, please give me this. Please help me now. And then often if we don't get prayers answered, and maybe we're like living a good life, maybe we're living like a Christian, we can get mad. We can be like, God, I did this. I'm living this way. I'm doing good. I'm doing what you told me. I'm following Scripture, and I'm not getting anything. I'm not getting anything here. And some people walk away from God. It's very easy, I think, to have a relationship with God based on exchange or based on business. And this is what Jesus is talking about right here. Because the pagans or the Pharisees or the hypocrites based a relationship with God, their prayer life, on hey, what am I going to get out of this? Like, hey, I can stand and say, you know, eloquent prayers. But then people will see me and say, oh, look at that honorable, respectable citizen or Christian or whatever. So I challenge you. I mean, what's your relationship with God? Is it business or is it family? Our Father wants it to be a family relationship. And that's why, again, we're not even going to go into the Lord's Prayer. Just verse 9, one verse. Pray then in this way. Our Father. Again, he doesn't say our King. He doesn't say our Savior. He doesn't say, oh, great Creator. Our Father, Daddy. Before going any further, I'll just say a lot of folks have struggled with that. You know, daddy issues are prevalent, or, you know, dad issues or father issues. But, you know, God, our Heavenly Father, is the Father we've always wanted, the Father who is perfect, the Father who adopted us. And it's really key to get like adoption with your prayer life. What's adoption? Well, adoption is someone, you know, chooses you, picks you up, changes your legal status. May not change your behavior, may not change, you know, what you do or how you see the world initially, but your legal status has changed. When we call ourselves Christians, when we call ourselves by the name of Christ, what it means is God has adopted us as his children in Christ. So our legal status has changed. Like, now we're his children. And he's like, you know, even whatever you do, I will be here as your Father. I love you. I love you. And so when we pray, is it one where, you know, we know that, man, this is our Heavenly Father. His will is what's best for my life. I want my will aligned with his will. I want to know his will. I want to thank him for the blessings he's given. And I want to ask, I want to get on my knees and ask, as he tells us to, for what we might need in our life. Luke 11, we don't have to go to it, but Luke 11, Jesus is talking about asking and receiving and asking and getting. And Jesus said, you know, if you ask for a fish, you know, will your Heavenly Father give you a scorpion? That's something you don't need? And interestingly enough, the Greek in ask in this passage in Luke 11, it literally means to shamelessly implore your needs. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't hold back. You know, just plead, ask. You know, strip the pride away. Shamelessly ask your needs. I don't know if we do that. Sometimes I don't do that. But looking to him as our Heavenly Father, who knows our needs and will give us what we need. An example, so I got three boys, some of y'all know, and anyway, late at night, sometimes, you know, I mean, I'll be out cold, you know, I sleep pretty hard, and I'll hear Jack, and he'll go like, you know, Daddy, minute pause, Daddy, I'm like, oh man, goodness, and he won't stop. You know, and so I'll wait, you know, about the 10th time, Daddy. So, I mean, I get up and I'll stumble around, you know, hit a wall or something. And, you know, I'll get in there and he'll be like, you know, fix my covers. And I was like, and he has covers on him. But, you know, like the sheets back in there or something like that. And I'm like, so I'll fix my covers and walk. He's like, lay with me for a little bit. And, I mean, I'm a sucker. Linda, I mean, love her. She's like, don't lay with him. You know, be a man. And I'm like, you know, yeah, I'll lay down and. No, I mean, Lynn is the better half, you know that, and sweeter. But so I lay down and you know, doze off and then get back up. Logan, on the other hand, There's no calling or asking. He just, you know, get out of my way. I'm coming to you. Have a bad dream. Need something. He's got his 90. And, you know, he just climbs into bed, and we snuggle and everything. And then, of course, Ethan is like, you know, sleeps 2 hours a night. And Linda takes care of him. So, but my point being, three sons, my children, I'm their earthly father, their dad. They cry out to me at night, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., different ways. You know, Jack will cry out. Logan will come. You know, they don't care about waking me up. They know that I'm eventually going to get up. I'm going to be there. And so, you know, the only people who would, like, wake a king up in the middle of the night is a child or their son or daughter. And we worship the King of Kings. And if you consider yourself his son or his daughter, he's always there. We can wake him up, and he will come to us. He says, I'm always there with you. I will never leave you. Do you cry out to him? Do you cry out shamelessly? And do you look at him as a father? Or do you just look at him to get what you want? And if you're doing everything that he, you know, you think that he says, and you don't get what you want, or you get mad and bust out. I think that's just it's a massive question for us. Because so many people view their Christian life. So many these questions on prayer, it is about an exchange. It is about a business relationship. I get on my knees because I want to get something. And if I don't, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm not that tied into God. But when you see him as your father, when you see him as a heavenly father who is there all night, every night, anytime, that will bless and that will give. And maybe, look, because I know what you're thinking, like, well, I've prayed for that, and you say, man, he knows what I want, he knows my needs, and I've been hurt, because I haven't gotten these great needs of my life. You know, maybe a loved one didn't heal and get well, and they're gone on in glory. Maybe that child that I want, I'm not getting that child. Maybe that marriage that I want, you know, come on, preacher, give me something that, like, can make me happy. I get that. I get that. We've all suffered loss. We all suffer pain. But man, I mean, we have a Father in heaven. He has blessed us, first off, more than we can ever fathom and more than many of you don't realize in Jesus Christ. Because we have heaven and eternity, not just awaiting, but abundant life here. And he's blessed us in so many ways. And if we would seek him, I think he will make our hearts content. And I think we'll see his answers. So I kind of want to shift gears because, you know, a lot of y'all are like, you know, practical, and a lot, I'm practical too. You know, and I'm actually an order guy, step-by-step guy. Like, okay, that's great, big picture. God is my father. It's not an exchange. I should look to him as a father. But hey, how do I pray? I mean, like give me some words, you know, like, and first off, we all know the type that, like, you know, gives these really religious, flowery prayers. I that always is a big turnoff for me. I have to, like, kind of, that's a sin in my own heart. So, you know, you don't have to, like, pray these preacherly. You don't have to be a professional prayer. It's just simple words, needs, thanks. But I kind of came up with this step-by-step process to pray. And it may be cheesy, and I don't mind cheesified, but it is, going back to Jack, my son, he loves Star Wars now, and my favorite movie is Empire Strikes Back, and so we'll watch the, I call them AT-ATs, I think it may be AT-AT, you know, they're the big things that, you know, through the snow, some of you Star Wars, anyway, but AT-ATs, and so I came up with this kind of thing called the AT-AT prayer, okay, AT-AT, and again, you don't have to use this, but so many folks ask, like, you know, what do I do in prayer? How do I pray? So, you know, here goes. First off, A, and I would write this down and use it or don't use it. A is admit, and these should come up on screen. Admit. Luke 22, 42 through 43 is the passage of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. Admit, in that passage, Jesus in the garden, he is admitting, I can't do this. And he's admitting, hey, I don't want to do this. Remove this from me. But then he admits, he says, not my will, but yours. And, you know, man, he is, I think he's kneeling, you know, but in all humility and he's pleading and he is admitting his need for help. I believe the first step in prayer, I really believe where we start from, is admitting. Admit, God, I need help. Also admitting, God, I'm like a sinner. I'm not up here on a pedestal. I'm not all that great. I need you, man. I need you in my life. I need you in this situation. I need you to bring me peace because I'm not getting the answer I want. So obviously that's not your will. So something, help me to admit. I really believe you should start your prayers admitting our need in a situation, our own sinfulness. And that can be tough for those, like, you know, who don't need anything. But I think at some point in life, you know, we're going to hit that situation. I think you should admit your brokenness, your sinfulness. I think you should repent. That is biblical. Jesus says, repent and enter the kingdom of God. First step is always admit. A. T. Trust. Trust. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. I mean, this is another thing of looking at, you know, is your prayer life like an exchange or is it your Heavenly Father? Because if you trust, then you're not just going to get your needs met. You're like trusting your Heavenly Father knows your needs and will provide you what you need. And you trust the promises of Scripture. Isaiah 41 right there says, I am with you. Do not fear. How many of us go through life and we're afraid at times? I mean, me. How many of us go through life and we don't know what to do at times? Me. One thing I encourage y'all, I know we're all about books, we're all about the Bible, is to know the promises of God in Scripture. I mean, God promises us things. He promises us, if you call on me, Psalm 51:10, I will come to you. Psalm 51. Isaiah 41, do not be afraid, I am with you. If you've had your back stabbed by somebody, and many of us have, or there's been injustice done to you in some way, or someone's gossiped about you, and you harbor bitterness and resentment, you know, there's the promise of God that says over and over again, God is just. God will judge. God will take care of all matters. So you can walk freely and have peace in your heart and do everything you can to be a peacemaker and know that, hey, God will take care of this. There are promises in Scripture that we need to trust as we're praying. So, I mean, literally, it's admitting our sin, our need for Him. It's trusting. There's a will for my life. It is good. I trust in the promises found in Scripture. A-T-A-T. Second A is to act. Act. Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Paul writes, says, therefore, beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I say to act because, man, I have known some Christians that are just passive in their prayer life, in their Christian life. It's like, I don't know what to do, but I just, you know, lift up some prayers and you know, they don't act at all. I mean, I think it's important. I think God wants us to work out our salvation. And that means like acting. That means believing that what God says to you, you need to follow through on. Let me just give you some examples. Like, what do you mean by that, acting? Well, for instance, when I pray, and I do pray, I mean, I try to grow my prayer life, but I'm praying, you know, I'm not much of a 20-minute, you know, in the morning, I'm more pray continually, little prayers. But I pray, and sometimes God puts people in my mind as I'm praying. I don't know if that happens to you. It's like, I didn't think about this person. I wasn't praying about them. But all of a sudden, this person comes to mind. Now, for me, I take that as, that's God saying something to me. That's God saying, I should reach out to this person in some way. And maybe it's somebody I've had an issue with or something. That's God saying, hey, maybe you need to reconcile with them. I had this happen to me one time where I was praying, and this person in Bellwether just came to mind over and over again. And I called him that morning. And it's like, man, he was struggling. He was in need. We had a conversation. That's when that type of things happen, and that's like awesome. It's like the Holy Spirit working. Like, and you feel like you're part of this grand story, and God's using you. And so, when you pray, and I just encourage y'all, if people come to mind, act on that. Reach out. Pick up the phone. Text them. Pick up the phone, but call them. I'm a caller. Visit them. Do something. Something else. Acting is when we were praying for a church building. And, you know, generally how I'm wired is like, you know, I'm probably going to act before making the decision. And sometimes that's a good thing. And sometimes it's just not a good thing at all. But I was like, you know, I'm praying for this church thing. But that didn't just mean just like pray and, you know, God just, you know, does it and lands your lap. Now, hey, sometimes that happens. But we got to act. We got to follow through. And so I started knocking on doors. I mean, literally, I started knocking on doors, seeing about buildings that might be, they might be willing to sell. So I didn't just sit back and say, you know, God, you know, it's just, he's going to provide. We're not passive. We're not called to be passive. We're called to work out our salvation with one another, with situations in life. Sometimes we will fail. We will fail. But God, our Heavenly Father, is there to lift us up. So I encourage, I implore you in your prayer life, when God speaks to you in prayer and he speaks, respond, act. And then the last T is thanks. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not worry about anything, but in everything. Does that say some things? No, everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We got to thank him. I believe even when we're hurt, even when we are, we may not know what God's doing, we need to give thanks. Why? Well, Scripture calls us to that. An at prayer, admit, trust the promises of God, act, and thank him. Thank him for our lives. Thank him for our relationships. Most importantly, our relationship that we can have in Jesus. Thank him for our salvation. Thank him for being a father. A father who doesn't force us to do anything, doesn't force anything on us, but says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. As that passage of that verse up there says, the peace that transcends all our understanding. That is possible now, today. I don't know if you came in here and you've got maybe burdens or anxieties, or people have talked about you or stabbed you in the back, or, you know, I don't know. All that happens. I know many of you want peace. It is there, it is real, and it's found in Jesus. And we can thank him for that. So anyway, for those of y'all who's like, just how do I pray? Just give me a step-by-step deal. I mean, that's, you know, anyway, I don't know how creative it is, but, you know, it's how I try to model my prayer life. To admit my need, admit my sin, trust in the promises of God, act, and give him thanks. One of the passages I want to share, this is in James chapter 5. If y'all would turn there, James chapter 5. I'm sure some of you know this passage. James 5. James 5:13. James writes, are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. I believe anything, any growth that we have in Christ, any newness that we will ultimately find or discover in Christ, anything we do as a church, whether it's mission or groups, or it has to begin and end in prayer, or it will not be fruitful, it will not be productive for the kingdom, and it will end up being all about us. And if prayer is not the bedrock, just the heart of this church and every church, it is for naught. And the trap that I fall into and that we easily fall into is that, hey, we're responsible and, hey, we can do these things. And we don't need, like, time in prayer. Prayer is our foundation. And it is so important how we look at prayer. That it's not just getting our needs met, it is coming to our Father. And it is admitting, and it is trusting, and it is acting, and it is thanking. There was one time in my life, about 13 years ago, and I was far away from home, and I'd lost a loved one. And I was just, I'm not like a homesick person, but I was just feeling alone. And I was on my knees, and I've never had the, had this happen before. On my knees, and just like pleading, God just, and I felt a touch. And I felt a literal touch on my shoulder or back. And I've had that happen a couple times since. And I remember realizing then, like, when you pour yourself out to God, you admit you're humble, you're broken, and you love Him, and you believe, He will touch you. He will be there. I've also been in small groups where someone needed healing physically. We've had small groups where we've prayed for a pregnancy to happen, and it did. We've had, you know, people get in the center of a room, and we lay hands, and I love, we got some prayer warriors out here that will, like, do this today. They'll, like, do it right now. They're like, I wish I was doing that right now. So, hey, man, if you don't want to go that way in the last song, man, great. And they'll lay hands on people, and we've seen miracles happen. And then last thing, pray individually, a group, but as a body, as a church body. My wife and I were talking, and we're talking about the blessing, and I know I sound like a broken record, the blessing of the property that God provided. And we have a handful of prayer warriors here, but we needed that to grow. My wife and I was like, can you imagine just the corporate body of our church praying together, united, what God could do through us? And He does. So I beg you, I mean, I beg you, grow in your prayer life. Pray, us as a church, for me. Pray for yourselves, I mean, your needs. But pray, more than anything else, to your Heavenly Father. I mean, seeing Him as your Father, as your Daddy, who is there at 3 a.m., who will get up, who will comfort you, because that's who He is. Let's pray together. Daddy, our true Daddy, I admit my own brokenness, and I pray that I would know You more as a Father. I pray for our congregation. I know we have folks who struggle with prayer. We're doers. We're drivers. And a lot of times we don't want to let go of the wheel. I don't want You to break us, but whatever You have to do, get our hands off the wheel, that we do admit, and we trust, and we act according to Your will, and we will thank You. Whatever happens, whatever good or ill in this world, in this life, comes what may, we know we have Jesus. We know You're our Father. Let us thank You. I do thank You. I thank You for this church. I pray we would be this praying church, and You would do wonders through us, not just with buildings or mission, but with people and with miracles that we would see and experience. I pray believing in the name of Jesus. Amen.